Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. Before we dive into the scriptures, I'm going to show you some photos, okay? Whatever word that comes to your mind, you just shout it out. Shall we do that? Okay, the first one, what is this? F1 race, right? The next one? Yeah, Singapore NDP. This one? Netflix. Okay, movie night, okay? The last one, bird watching. So at this moment, you must be wondering, Pastor Sharon, the pictures seem a bit random, huh? The little children also say, very random, leh. What is this, huh? What is all this about? If you look at the four photos, you can see that there's actually a common thread that runs everything through the four photos. The common theme is the word watching. You need eyes to see NDP, F1, and movie night, isn't it? Today, we are covering 55 verses. 55, from Matthew chapter 27, verse 27, to Matthew chapter 28, verse 15. If you look through the 55 verses, you will see many events, different pictures, different events, but they have a common thread that strings everything together, and that common theme is watching. Beholding, seeing carefully, looking attentively. It has all got to do with eyes. But more than that, if you look a bit more carefully, you will realize that our passage, 55 verses, are intentionally arranged by the author in a chiastic structure. Whenever the author uses a chiastic structure, it's to highlight to the readers to focus at the focal, the center point of the structure, and that is the alphabet F. Behold, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 6a. The focal point of the chiastic structure is the theological purpose, the theological idea of the 55 verses, different events that we are covering today. If you forget everything that I share with you today, just remember the theological purpose of the text. Beholding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're not going to read through all 55 verses, but I'm going to summarize how A, B, C, D, E are going to be impacted, reversed because of the account of resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a grand reversal there. Let's begin with A. If you have your Bible, you can just read through that, but I'm going to summarize for you. A, that segment, you can see different people mocking Jesus. You know, the soldiers mocking him, stripping off his clothes, people passing by the cross, looking at Jesus, mocking him, and the religious leaders were also mocking him. But after the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can see how A is impacted and reversed, and the leaders ended up mocking themselves with false reports. Because at the end of our passage today, you will realize that the soldiers told the leaders, Jesus has resurrected. So in order not for the good news to spread, the religious leaders decided to create fake news, false reports of how the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. How ridiculous, isn't it? So the scholars say that the leaders ended up mocking themselves with false reports, with their own stupidity, their own blindness, and their own stubbornness. That is A, reversed, because of the account of his resurrection. If you look at B, you can see different people watching Jesus, and Jesus dies. But after the resurrection, you can see reports that Jesus lives begin to spread. There's a grand reversal there. We skip C, we go to D, okay? D, they were watching from a distance Jesus being buried. But after the resurrection, you can see reports of Jesus' body not entombed anymore. E, the religious leaders rejecting Jesus' claim of resurrection. But that is also reversed with disciples accepting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you forget everything that I say, remember the chiastic structure. The theological purpose of the whole event is that we will behold the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If I had 5 weeks with you, I would probably cover A, B, C, D, E. But because we only have one Sunday, we're going to zoom in at C. How they were watching Jesus and they truly believed. And how that is impacted by the account of resurrection of Jesus Christ is no longer believing. The disciples are called to go forth and testify. So before we dive into the scriptures, let us pray. Father, fill us with your Spirit to understand your word. May we not just be hearers, but doers of your word. Open our eyes to see today. Grant us redeemed vision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Behold, Christ is risen. So let us move from merely watching to truly believing, and from believing to boldly testifying. Let us start with the first point of today's sermon. Let us move from merely watching to truly believing. And let us read from Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 54 from the ESV version. This is the portion that Jesus was on the cross. Verse 50 says this, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. And the tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" We must take note that verses 52 and 53 were not written in chronological order. It was inserted there because of the chiastic structure. So it wasn't that the centurion saw the resurrected saints walking around in the city and therefore they believed. So it wasn't that. And where the centurion was located at the foot of the cross, he wouldn't be able to see the curtain of the temple torn into two as well. So it wasn't that he saw the curtain torn into two and therefore he believed. So at this moment, we can't help but to ask ourselves this question. What exactly did he see? We must remember that the Roman crucifixion is nothing but evil. What did he see that took place on the cross that made him say truly, "This was the Son of God"? The ESV Bible says this: "The centurion and his guards were accustomed to seeing the cruelty of crucifixions, but the extraordinary self-control, purity, and love shown by Jesus in his death made the centurion realize that Jesus was the Son of God." That was how he went from just watching the cross to truly believing that Jesus was the Son of God. Today, we are not standing at the foot of the cross. We don't have that privilege like the centurion to see the cross and behold, Jesus is the Son of God. But today, as believers of Jesus Christ, we have all been assigned a cross of suffering for us to bear for our good and for his glory. And today, God doesn't want you to see your cross of suffering, to see only cruelty, grief, or sadness in your cross of suffering. God wants you to open your eyes to see his love in your pain, in your shame, in your cross of suffering. Because the truth is that as Christians, we are called to lay down our lives, carry our cross, and follow him. We are called to carry the cross assigned by God for our good and for his glory. In the context of Singapore, our cross may not be in a form of persecution, but our cross could be anything that God wants you to obey at the cost of something. That might be your cross of suffering. Anything that God wants you to say yes to him at the expense of something, that will be your cross of suffering. So some of you, your cause of suffering may be staying faithful in a very difficult relationship and marriage. Some of you, your cause of suffering may be taking care of the elderly, the sick in your family. For some of us, your cause of suffering may be forgiving a friend again, again, and again. Forgiving someone again and again. That might be your cross of suffering. Whatever it is, today God wants you to open your eyes to see His love. To see His love. To see God's love in the cross He has assigned us to bear is not blindness, insanity, or denial of reality. It is redeemed vision. Redeemed vision. Moving from merely watching the painful events of our lives to truly believing that Jesus is Lord requires God to graciously open our eyes, just as He opened the centurion's eyes on that day. My brothers and sisters in Christ, some of you are struggling with your cross of suffering. You are beginning to doubt and you are losing your faith. Ask God to open your eyes to see your pain all over again. Because when you do that, you can see God's love in your life. This is Serene from a Salt and Light article. At the age of 9, she was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that attacked both her kidneys. And she has been struggling for 30 years. 30 years. And in year 2020, it was announced to her that both her kidneys have failed. When asked why she can still say that God is good despite the suffering she has had to endure, she confessed, "It's a very difficult question. We are all limited by our worldly ability to understand, but God's ways are really above our ways. I've seen how He's good despite what I've gone through. Having an illness for close to 30 years, I realized that He really does provide." Instead of seeing the cruelty, the sadness, the grief of a cross of suffering, her sickness, Serene saw the goodness of God, the love of God. Just like the centurion, he didn't just see the evil in the crucifixion. He saw the love of God on the cross. And that's why both of them believe that Jesus is God and He's Lord and He is still in control. Today, God is calling us, behold, Christ is risen. Let us move from watching the painful events of our life to truly believing that He is Lord. Ask God to open your eyes to see. Pastor Edmund Chan in his last week's sermon says, vision determines everything. Your vision determines everything. Ask God to revive your eyes to see His love. And sometimes you can see His love in the difficult situation where He removes that challenge. You can see His love. But sometimes He doesn't remove our challenge, our difficulty, right? But you can still see His love in your cross of suffering by how He sent people to help you, how He sent people to pray for you, how He sent supernatural strength to encourage you, through supernatural favor to carry you. That is His love in your cross of suffering as well. Open your eyes to see. He's there. He has never left you. He will never leave you today. Behold, Christ is risen. And some of us here among us, you are a non-Christian. You have been following, joining us in worship for some time. And maybe this is your first visit to a church setting in a Christmas season. And when you look at the cross, sometimes you look at the cross like a spectator. But today God is calling you to take a look at the cross again and see God's love for your life. He died for the sins of the world, not just for the sins of the friends here, but the sins of your life as well. So in this Christmas season, if you want to see the cross and see His love and take the next step in this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to say a very simple prayer in your heart right now. The prayer is like this. Lord Jesus, as I behold the cross, I see Your love for my life. Today I confess that I'm a sinner, that I cannot save myself by my own efforts. I believe You are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank You for forgiving my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life and new beginning. Today I believe in You as my Lord and my Savior. Maybe sitting among us are our next generation, our children and our youth. Maybe you have been following your parents every week for service. If this is your desire to receive Jesus for the first time, that you realize Jesus is not just my parents' God. Jesus loves me too, and He died for my sins. You can say this prayer in your heart right now. Behold, Christ is risen. So let us move from merely watching the cross to truly believing. The centurion saw the love of God that day, and that was how he truly believed that Jesus is the Son of God. And today, ask God to just not look at your cross of suffering and see pain and see cruelty. Ask God to open your eyes to see his love in your cross of suffering, in the painful events of your life. And that is how you can move from watching to truly believing that Jesus is still in control. Jesus is Lord. Behold, Christ is risen. So let us move from watching to truly believing, and from believing to boldly testifying. You know, before the account of resurrection in Jesus Christ, if you remember the classic structure, the believers were only expected to believe in Jesus. That's it. But after the account of resurrection, there is a new movement now. It's not just believing. From believing, they need to go forth and testify. So let us read from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. This is after the death of Jesus. Verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." At this moment, we just need to take note that the two Marys in the previous verses on before this passage, they actually witnessed the death and burial of Jesus. They followed him all the way. They knew where he was buried. So it wasn't that the two Marys went to the wrong tomb and realized that it was empty. No, they went to the correct one. The second point we need to take note, that the stone was rolled away not for Jesus to come out. Okay, little children, remember? The stone was rolled away not for Jesus to come out because he had already resurrected. The stone was rolled away so that the two Marys could see it's an empty tomb. Jesus has risen from the dead. So let us go on to verse 6. This is what the angel told the two Marys. "He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see where he lay. Then quickly tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You know, before his death, he already told his disciples that he would rise, he would die and rise from the dead. He told them before. Back then, they probably believed. But believing is not enough. After the resurrection, they must go forth and testify. So they told the two Marys, "Go quickly and tell the disciples." They went to tell the disciples, and at that time, Jesus appeared. And the disciples had to touch his feet and make sure that they are not imagining, no hallucination. And they realized that it's true. But believing that he has resurrected is not enough. Touching his feet is not enough. They must go forth and tell other disciples in Galilee that Jesus is risen. You know, if Jesus had remained dead, he would just be a good prophet, a good teacher, a good rabbi. But the fact that he died and rose from the dead, he's truly the Son of God. The fact that he died and rose from the dead, that is the game changer. The fact that he died and rose from the dead, he is no longer dead. Their faith and our faith will not be in vain. Therefore, the good news of resurrection must spread. They must go forth and testify. Likewise, we must go forth and testify as well. If you look at the charistic structure, you can see that the whole theme of watching is now changing to beholding. And it's no longer just believing. If you look at the reverse of all the alphabets, there is this whole movement of testifying. If you look at beholding that is repeated so many times after the resurrection, you will realize that the Greek word eido means to see carefully, look attentively. Is to look at the account of resurrection very carefully, very attentively. That means beholding the resurrection of Jesus Christ through a new pair of eyes is the key to testifying. Beholding it with a new vision is the key for the new movement to go forth to testify. If you want a testimony to rise from your cross of suffering, you must have new eyes to see all your challenges through the empty tomb. The question is why? Why, Pastor Sharon, why must we see all our challenges, all events of life, all difficulties through the empty tomb? Because when you see your challenges through the lens of tombed and doomed, your vision becomes crippled and your testimony weakened. If you see everything through defeat and hopelessness, you will only see voices of doubts. You will only see impossibility of change. If you look through everything through the lens of hopelessness, you will only see the script of your wounded past, the inconveniences, the obstacles, and the not good enough fears. And no wonder Pastor Edmund Chan in his sermon says, vision determines everything. Put on new vision. Look all the events of your life through the empty tomb. That is how you can have a new vision. That is how your testimony can arise. Do you know the two Marys? They had every right and excuse to say no to the angel. Count me out, I don't want to testify. Because that is a huge obstacle that they need to cross. And that is the obstacles of their gender. Back in those days, the woman had to take a back seat in the social life, the back seat in the political life, the back seat in the religion life. Even the testimony in the legal court back in those days, the testimony of a woman is considered invalid. As a woman, even if you have noticed something, witnessed something, you cannot testify in the legal court in those days because a testimony of a woman is considered invalid. That day, the two Marys had to cross a huge obstacle. And I can't help but to ask myself, why? Why did they do it? Because they saw the empty tomb. Their vision was changed completely. They saw the empty tomb. I want to share a story with you right now. A few weeks ago, my family went to a hotel for hotel buffet, a lunch hotel buffet. And then we were about to sit and dig in the first plate of the buffet. Just to let you know, my family loved to go buffet. Yeah. So they were all ready to eat plates of it. And then we were about to dig in the first plate. Suddenly, a boy pushed through the glass door there, came from the swimming pool, pushed through the glass door, and the boy was about 10 and 11 years old. And the boy shouted, "Emergency! Emergency!" And the rest of us in the restaurant stood up and wondered what happened. When we looked through the glass, we saw the hotel staff by the pool jumped in quickly, but he came out again and he shouted for more help. And two other guys jumped in. So three guys jumped in because the father of that boy was at the bottom of the pool. It was 2 meters deep. And they had to jump in to pull him out. It was a great effort. They pulled him out. He was not conscious. And at that moment, we looked through the glass door. We saw the older boy, 10-year-old boy, crying by the pool, crying loudly, wailing very loudly. We saw the mother kneeling beside the father, watching the hotel staff doing CPR. And we saw the 5-year-old son, the younger son, in the pool. He was so shocked. He wasn't crying, but he was pale like a white piece of paper, so shocked that he dare not come out of the pool. At that moment, I wanted to go out and help. I must say, it was very comfortable watching the whole drama through the glass. Very comfortable. All of us, there were so many in the restaurant, just stood up and watched the whole thing. Watching how the guy was drowned, watching the whole thing. It was comfortable for us to do that. But deep within my heart, I wanted to go out and to help. But guess what? I heard a familiar voice. A familiar voice that tells me this. "You're only a woman. Sit down and keep quiet." I recognized that voice. "You're only a woman. Sit down and keep quiet." I prayed and I asked God, "Give me strength." I pushed through that voice, pushed through the door, and I went straight to the 10-year-old boy and I hugged him. He was crying so badly. I hugged him, and Felix came out after me, and I asked Felix, Felix, pull the young boy from the pool right now, because no one is watching the young boy. Something might happen. So the young boy came out, and we hugged the two boys, and I asked the two boys, do you know Jesus? I'm going to pray for Jesus to intervene right now. And we prayed aloud for the power of God to intervene something that is so dark, so dead, so broken, and so hopeless. And then we asked the hotel staff to give towel to the boys, hot water, and I passed the boys to Felix. And I went to the mother. I wrapped her because she was in swimming costume. I wrapped her, and I prayed aloud as well. After some time, the ambulance came, and they left. Until today, we don't know what happened to the father. But you see, our responsibility is not the outcome. We are not responsible for the outcome of our ministry, but we are responsible to go and testify the power of God's revival, the power of His resurrection, that He can revive something that is dead, dark, broken, and hopeless. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, don't settle for old vision. Ask God to help you to have new eyes to see everything through the empty tomb and go forth to minister to anything that is dark, dead, hopeless, and broken. See all things, not through an old vision, but through the empty tomb. This is what God wants to speak to all of us, not some of us, but all of us today. Behold, Christ is risen. Don't settle for old vision. Ask God to open your eyes to see everything through the empty tomb and believe that there's no prison wall He cannot break through. There's no broken body He cannot raise. There's no soul He cannot save. There's no wound He cannot heal. Ask God to open your eyes to believe that and keep praying for the God of revival to revive our lives and our loved ones. Today, God is risen. Christ is risen. So let us move from merely believing to boldly testifying. Before the resurrection, the disciples were expected to just believe. But after the resurrection, they must go forth to testify. If you forget everything that I share with you today, remember the chiastic structure. The author intentionally arranged all the events to highlight to us the theological purpose of the passage, and that is to behold, Christ is risen. This season, I'm walking with a covenanter who has just been diagnosed with cancer. The next day, she was diagnosed with cancer, and the next day she had to do CT scan. So I went with her to do the scan, and I asked her, how are you? And this is what she said. Pastor Sharon, I see the love of God. I see the love of God in my cancer. Why? Because she was just due for health screening, the yearly health screening. She was in good health, no warning signs. When she went for the health screening, you know, for those of us who went for health screening, it's a usual thing that we test, right? The markers, you know. But that day, her doctor told her to test a particular area of her body that had no warning signs. And she tested it and realized that she has cancer in that particular area of her body. And she told me she sees the love of God, that God intervened at the early stage, number one. Number two, immediately she said, Pastor Sharon, I finally have a license to testify to my friends that Christ is alive. So when I look at her, I can't help but to ask myself, why is it that she can respond in this way? Why? Then I realized one thing. Number one, she sees the love of God in her cross of suffering. Number two, because she sees everything through the empty tomb, she doesn't see her cancer as a death sentence. She wants her non-Christian friend to look at her cross of suffering and to say, behold, this is Jesus, the Son of God. She wants them to see her cross of suffering and to believe that this is the Son of God. He died and rose from the dead. Let us pray. As I invite the worship team, I'm not going to give us some time to just sink in. Allow me to speak to some of our friends here who may not be believers. You're not a Christian today. But today there is a prompting in your heart. You feel that in this season, you want to believe in Jesus. You have seen His love, His love in your life. And you want to believe that He died for your sins and you want Him to be your Lord, your Savior. With all eyes closed, if this is you, Can I invite you to raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today for the first time? Can I invite you to raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Anyone believing Jesus for the first time? Father, we pray for our friends who are believing Jesus for the first time on site in BBJ or listening through the podcast. We pray that you will fill them with your Spirit. For some who are still sitting on the fence, we pray that you open their eyes to see your love. Your love in all events of their life, and believe that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. For the rest of us, I want you to invite you to rise. I want to invite you to sing this song as a cry and a response.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.